tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. Oh,
TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, welcome to another edition of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Buzz After Show. Tonight we are talking about Season 3, Episode 8, Many Heads, One Tail.
One tall tale.
Deep.
It is. It was
deep.
A very tall tale.
Yes.
If you guys haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, all that fun stuff. Rate, leave a comment. We love hearing from you guys. Let me introduce my fantastic panel, Jesse Klein.
Hey everyone, how's it going? You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
And you guys find me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson.
Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter at JAzuri.
And guys, I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVShield. So guys, if you have any comments that you want to throw at us, we might just give you a shout out. We'll be keeping an eye on it. And of course, we are also keeping an eye on the live chat as well on YouTube for those of you watching live.
The chat roll's already aware that there's a surprise coming later.
How do they know?
I told people on Snapchat. I said we have a surprise. It might be funny, just saying.
It might be funny. It might also be terrible.
There's a mole amongst us.
Yeah. Leaking information.
I didn't hide it. I told you guys.
Turns out Joyce is the word.
I'm suits honest right now. I'm Roz.
She didn't know what was going on. Guys.
Which
maybe.
We called, by the way. At least
maybe.
We drew it out as a possibility.
I thought, I'm going to stick by that idea that she has no idea.
Maybe.
That she was a patsy in all this.
Yes.
Perhaps.
That she had no idea about anything with the
fish
oil.
She
and
knew
all that.
A lot to an extent. And then, you know, I knew there was going to be some detail that she wasn't privy to. And lo and behold.
Yeah.
See, the problem with this is that it's so easy to believe that because we want to believe that. We want her
to
be good.
I don't know. I like her as a bad guy.
The ship-happy part of me really wants her to be good and wants her and Phil to work it out and kiss more and be a great couple and be a great spy power couple.
I think it's so much more interesting if they're like this romantic antagonistic force, like constantly clashing against each other. I think it's much cooler
that way.
It is.
It's fascinating, and that's why we can't get excited about this, guys, because you can't open up your heart to it just yet. She still may not be trusted. This could all be part of Malik's long con.
That's
could
a
be.
Lesson for all of you out there. Don't open up your heart. Keep it closed
no,
and safe.
No, don't say that.
Keep it safe. Just don't.
Keep it closed
no.
and safe. Lock your doors. Close your windows.
Jesse, this is not love line.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know, it sounds like sound advice to me. But
no,
guys, before we get started with the episode, we want to give a special shout out to one of the best fans I think we could ever have.
Oh, yeah.
Our good friend Alvin sent us these wonderful, wonderful notebooks with wonderful,
so cool.
Sweet messages.
They're gorgeous. I think he got them custom made by a company called Redbubble.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And they all have personalized messages inside them. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Super
yeah.
sweet.
So
I
awesome.
Love these.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Al.
Not only did he get us awesome Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pins, but he got us these notebooks because we're always writing notes. And so I think you guys can definitely tell that. So this was a very, very sweet gesture.
Really thoughtful.
And they will be put to good use. So thank you so much,
thank
Alvin.
Thank you, Alvin.
Alvin, I'd like to let you know the first note I wrote in this notebook is octopus are scary.
That's a good way to christen it.
It's,
that's
I a felt great like way to christen it. It was a good way to christen
it. Octopus are scary.
An observation, an opinion, maybe both.
Fact. But fact. Delicious.
Octopus are delicious.
Delicious. Yeah, you know, some calamari does sound good right now, actually. Mm. Not
that's,
gonna lie.
That's squid. It's
squid.
Is it squid? Not octopus?
Yeah, they have a hard mantle.
Oh, it's takoyaki that's octopus. That stuff is real good. That stuff is great. If you guys haven't tried
taco
it, takoyaki.
Any day.
Yeah, for sure.
Bomb.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into this episode because there's a lot to unpack here. We got some really good espionage stuff in this. We got some great action sequences and the plot moved along at a really good clip, but at the same time, I didn't feel oversaturated with stuff. Pacing for me felt really good. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was a really good, the writers seem to have really stepped into their own about being able to move plot through character development this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think that's why it doesn't feel overwhelming when things like that happen, because we were seeing the plot move, but at the same time, we were getting a lot of character development, and, like, the characters were moving at the exact same time.
Which didn't make me miss action.
No, not at all.
No.
I still felt very compelled to watch. I didn't crave the action because I was so, like, you know,
and we still
so in tune with the show. I was like, this is everything that's happening is just as amazing as it would be if they had like fight scenes.
Yeah, this episode felt just as action packed as any episode has ever been on S.H.I.E.L.D.
And we
yeah.
got rewarded with like a super sci-fi like action scene with Bobby at the end.
That was
Bobby
so
with
cool.
an inhuman.
Yeah, Bobby fighting an inhuman.
With crazy magnet recall powers.
Guys, it reminded me of Push. Which was an awesome movie with Chris Evans.
Debatable.
I loved it. It's worth at least like seeing if you can find it. Like rent it on iTunes for like $2. It's about people with superpowers and like they use telekinesis to like fight gun battles. It's really cool. It's better than Jumper. That's what I can say.
I liked Jumper.
That's not a high bar, guys.
It's at least an entertaining evening.
I didn't enjoy either of these movies.
I never saw this one. But either way.
Push was really fun.
That scene was awesome.
Yeah.
It was.
And it looks like Bobby got herself like some Captain America magnetic baton collar backers.
Those were really badass.
Yeah.
It makes sense though, like that they would have that tech. Like if they've had any information sharing with Stark, or let's face it, it's S.H.I.E.L.D., they'd make their own information sharing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, we can call back the S.H.I.E.L.D. like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Fitz just like fiddles for like a day and just like
boom,
here you
done.
Go. They'll bring them back to
baton
your hands.
Gauntlets.
Yeah.
It's the best, and it was really cool because we've seen the group fight Inhumans in various forms, and this is the first time we've seen an Inhuman working for Hydra.
Yeah,
and that is a scary combination.
It seems like. Well, like what we're seeing is Hydra is trying to militarize, and it's like what we've known about before, but Hydra is trying to militarize as much alien tech and as much tech as they can get, and that includes alien genetics as well, and they're trying to militarize the Inhumans, and it looks like they found one guy, telekinesis guy, and it looks, as we got at the end, it looks like they're going to try and like create Lash into just be an anger monster. And, like, try and use him against S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Like, he'd probably be their lead soldier.
They said they were building an army for this Inhuman that was banished to the other world.
Yeah.
And I keep wondering to myself, who could this Inhuman have been?
Did they say it was an Inhuman?
To jump ahead, yeah.
Death, as we, like, had to call him, because that's all we had. It is confirmed from this to be an Inhuman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know, that's a lot to unpack.
I racked my brain through all the Inhumans I could think of. None of them have powers that quite work like that. So it could be... I wouldn't even mind if this
is an
original character.
I'm okay with it.
We don't do that enough.
Yeah.
I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been pretty good with using original characters.
Mm-hmm.
With just a couple of pre-established ones built in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jia Ying was ever a character in the comics, right?
Mm-mm. Not that I know.
But she was a great villain.
But Hyde was...
They've
basically, Daisy, Hyde, and Mockingbird are the only non... original MCU character, like characters that have been featured significantly.
Absorbing Man.
Well, featured significantly. I'm saying, like, as recurring
yeah.
characters.
They're all very fulfilling characters in terms of the way they develop their story. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not... Like, you're right. I don't need to see a ton of original Marvel characters to enjoy the show.
Yeah, no, for sure. And which, again, if this is an original character, this is an original character who is pretty much all but immortal because it has sustained itself on this planet for eons and eons and eons as Hydra has tried to formulate ways to bring it back. Yeah. And so Hydra's only plan was just sending people to appease it or serve it, I don't know, let it eat them. I don't know. It was weird. But this, whatever this thing is, it, I guess its ability is, maybe it has a power very similar to Jia Ying's in that it can absorb other people's life essence.
Yeah.
And gains immortality that way.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people in the chat room asking about the royal family. I just want to address it since a lot of people
are
asking.
Go right ahead.
The royal family being Black Bolt and Medusa, the fact that we have an Inhumans movie on the books as of now, there's been rumors that it might be moving, in which case the royal family could easily move to TV.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what we're doing here. That doesn't seem the cards they're playing, and they want... Kevin Feige wants to do the Inhumans movie, and that's the royal family.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it would be amazing if they introduced a royal family character in this show, but I don't see it happening.
They'll introduce Eldrick.
If they'll introduce Eldrick.
What if the monolith is just Eldrick?
That would be amazing.
So there's a piece of him still left that wasn't vaporized.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that it's a new thing. I thought I didn't hear that it was an Inhuman, and I was thinking that maybe it was Red Skull, since Red Skull got banished with the Cosmic Cube in the Captain America movie, and he's been sight unseen since then, probably out there in space being really angry for a long time.
Just sulking.
Well, now we know that he's... Whoever this has been there way longer than the 40s.
World War II.
Yeah, no, the fact that they even said that, yeah, no, World War II, that's not the origin of Hydra.
Yeah.
That's like when Hydra took its next step, but it's been back for years and years and years.
This organization that's been seeking power through alien technology for years and years and years and years.
This organization, which... What do you think? What are you guys thinking at this point?
It's weird to think of Hydra being something that existed longer than World War II. Because, you know, whenever we think of Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D., we always think of exactly what Ward said, World War II, Red Skull. And
the Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Hydra was born out of. The fact that it's actually a secret organization that was tied more to, I guess... Maybe Zodiac? I don't know. It's hard to say. But it's really interesting to see the ram's head and then through the ages how that evolved into the Hydra symbol.
Yeah.
The ram's head, like, as soon as we saw it, I was like, it's Zodiac! I'm, like, shouting it.
Yeah.
This episode, it didn't discount it entirely, but it did seem to... It is good evidence against it.
Zodiac, yeah. I think it's just creating Hydra as, like, just a nefarious organization, just giving it a longer life than it's had.
It's sort of an evil Masons at this
point. Yeah. And, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been around since before World War II, so with, like, Leonardo da Vinci and all that kind of stuff.
In the books you're referring to, yeah.
Are we talking about the Templars from Assassin's Creed?
Well, but basically.
I mean, yeah, kind of. But there is, like, this ancient organization.
Wait a minute. There are way more similarities now that I'm thinking about it than I approve of. And it's starting to make me angry, actually.
Hashtag it's all connected.
Hashtag it's all connected. Ezio is just a primordial Coulson. I get it. It all makes sense now. So we should probably pull back a little bit and talk since we were talking about the two of them, Malik and Ward in this episode, I have never enjoyed seeing two, like, equally menacing figures just kind of go back and forth. Because Ward is menacing in a completely different way. He's a complete sociopath, and he's very hot-headed, and he's passionate about his revenge quest. And we see that, and he's totally cool with taking down a plane, since it just happens to be his only way to get to where he wants to go, torturing guys with blowtorches. But watching Malik, too, Malik, who is much older and is much more reserved and deliberate in everything he says and does, they're equally menacing, because you see the anger right on the surface with Ward, but whenever Malik talks, you get this kind of sense that something bigger is going on.
Well, Malik's the one who's been privy to this crazy centuries-long organization, so yeah. He's the guy, Ward is the guy who came in and is like, I can run this better, so he's just taking it over step by step. But then he learns there's this whole other level to it that he never began to know about, let alone understand.
It's like new Hydra versus old Hydra, just like we had the whole new shield versus old shield.
Real shield
going on. Real shield.
Oh, yeah. It's totally right? This is real Hydra. Yeah.
can we call it Gap Hydra versus real Hydra? I just want to remind everyone that when Ward reformed Hydra, they all looked like they were members of the Gap. Gap commercial.
So
they all were wearing tight white tees and khakis and hanging out in abandoned warehouses.
It does, like, if one of them had been, like, a couple of them had removed their shirts to see, like, reveal six packs, it would start to look like an Abercrombie shoot, right? Yeah.
Oh, God. Or an old, like, a 90s Chino commercial.
Yeah.
The Gap Chinos.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
But it is very much that Ward, despite being as smart as he is, and he is very maybe he's not smart, but he's very intelligent. And despite having all of these plans, even he was not aware of kind of this ancientness to Hydra. And it appears that he's now toeing the company line. It looks as though he's on board with Malik, and whatever Malik wants for the future of Hydra, it appears that Ward is on board and is the second head rising next to Malik.
And he gave him a new goal, which I think Ward needed to push himself more as a villain. Like, it seems to be getting easier and easier to get to S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson and that whole group. So I feel like he needed this to push him further and to give himself something new to strive for.
Yeah, totally.
It's huge.
I'm just a little, not concerned. Concerned is the wrong word. But I'm a little surprised that he's more willing to jump on board with Malik's stuff. I'm sure he has his own scheme and agenda, and I have no doubt that he's planning to stab Malik in the back the first chance he gets.
True.
But I'm a little bit surprised he's not more hesitant about dealing with alien technology, because it was alien technology and alien DNA that drove Garrett mad and eventually ended up leading to his destruction. So, like, seeing Ward having to take time to process all this alien information in regards to Hydra, that makes sense. But I would want to think that, given his history with it, that Ward would want to stay as far away as possible from alien tech, just given what happened to Garrett.
Hmm. Well, if he's going to be the second in command, like, in terms of control for this army that they're putting together, I think that's pretty enticing for him. I think he's going to set aside, like, the fact that it ruined Garrett and everything, and this is what he's been dreaming of and so much more.
I guess my big question is, like, what is Ward's endgame? I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
What is his endgame? World domination? Because that doesn't seem like Ward. That doesn't seem...
No.
It's not convincing.
It's more personal. He's all about the personal vendettas.
But so if he's setting aside his personal vendettas, and I don't know that he is, but if he is, what does he want?
I mean, I feel like Ward's endgame is to get Coulson to admit that he's the best agent he's ever had.
Like, he just wants his dad.
I think that's why he's got such this like vendetta against S.H.I.E.L.D. and specifically against the team that he was on, is like he wants them to admit that he was the best part of their unit. And then he'll light them on fire like he did with his family. Like,
well, we know that
he wants them to admit that they were wrong, yeah. And then he can burn them in a fire. Yeah, makes sense.
Fire is forgiveness, folks.
The big
cleansing. It's cleansing.
The short-term goal is cutting the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is getting rid of Coulson, obviously. And then now I feel like this was the show's way of, like, setting up a goal for Ward now.
Yeah.
So...
It definitely
Even though, like, it didn't come from him per se, like, it came from Malik, I think, like, they gave us that answer in that form.
It definitely gives him a reason Malik's, to still be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if Ward just was there to attack S.H.I.E.L.D., it's less interesting now that he's kind of got this role of...
It's like, all right, he's not being petty now. He's actually going to put a team together.
But at the same time, he's still 100% a sociopath when it comes to getting his personal revenge, as we see with Andrew at the very end.
Yes.
Of course.
He's got a freaking smile on his face as he's using mustard gas against him to try to see, well, what'll turn you into Lash? This is great. Also, yeah, thank you. You have hurt Melinda in ways that I could never do that. That's great. Cool. She's got a type.
Yeah, I hadn't until he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, these are both Melinda's exes. Yeah.
The second that he walked into the room, I was like, oh, this is awkward.
I will be pissed if this is what gets Andrew to turn and stay as Lash. Like, this torture... I'd be so mad because I want the other team to have a chance to save him. And then, like, you know, it would just upset me if Ward got to him first and, like, that was it for Andrew.
Well, mustard gas is a real extreme. Like, yeah. I would try laughing gas first or something. Like, mustard gas... Is so
wasn't it
extreme.
Used in World War II for
World War I.
Terrible testing?
It was World War I. It was trench warfare. It melts your lungs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good...
It's not
like,
just
first
an irritant.
Step.
It's not tear gas.
They didn't tell the soldiers they were using... They were testing them for, you know, what was going to happen to them. And they tested it on them.
Mustard gas in general is just never a good thing. Don't put it on your hot dog, folks.
It's not as delicious as it sounds.
No.
Yeah. This is, I guess, the one thing that has frustrated me, or that I'm not quite sure I'm on board with in the last two episodes, is the difference between Andrew and Lash.
Same here.
Yeah.
I don't, like, we've got enough Marvel characters where...
It's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
And become a different person that you can't control herself. I would have liked more for Lash to be something that Andrew has felt for a long time.
A manifestation.
It's a manifestation. It's an extreme version of that, but it is still what he believes. And I think that we may still get that. This scene between them, Andrew's side, I wasn't sure what his... I didn't know what his perspective was at this time. And I'm completely unsure how Lash will react to being a part of Hydra.
Yeah, that was kind of... Because he had that conversation with Malik. And when he had that conversation with Malik, it kind of seemed like Andrew might be on board with whatever Malik's intentions were. They were kind of agreeing on a lot of stuff. And Malik even said that they have a lot more in common than they do not.
Yeah, than they don't.
And I think it's... Yeah, I think there's just not a clear delineation between, like, who Lash is versus who Andrew is.
Yeah.
And are they the same person? Does Andrew remember everything he does when he's Lash? Does Andrew...
See, last week it seemed like he did and he was cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
100%.
This week,
which I'm way more on board with.
Same
is
here.
Like, yeah, own your truth, Andrew. Like, live your truth.
Man.
Whether it's...
You gotta dance. Sometimes you gotta dance, Andrew.
Are you telling him to go and follow his dream, even if his dream is to murder every human he comes across?
Look, Andrew, you gotta do you.
Don't follow your dream. Follow your dream.
But, like, we'll do us and stop you, but you do you.
You do you, we'll do us.
I do not support this right now. Just because I'm on camera with Zach doesn't mean I agree.
We're giving out great life lessons tonight. Don't open your heart. Don't follow your dreams.
Can we talk about the other hearts?
To be fair, Andrew was opening up other people's hearts. So.
Well, before we get into all the broken hearts that are left strung across the floor this season, let's go ahead and talk about iTunes really quick. Ooh. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment. We absolutely love hearing from you guys. When we get to read it, it's like the highlight of our week. And we know we have an international audience, and it warms our hearts. The fact that you guys comment on YouTube and you tweeted us, it really does mean the world to us that you guys are watching and paying attention to what we have to say. We're just a bunch of nerds geeking out about our show. So, thank you. And it's the best way to let the network know that you like the show that we're putting on is by being vocal. And we want to crush Scandal as well as a lot of other shows here at AfterBuzz.
We want to be the best. We are second. We are in second place in the most iTunes ratings.
Guys, don't hold back.
At AfterBuzz.
Don't hold back.
We want to be the very best like no one ever was.
Would we use alien technology to get better than Scandal?
If we must.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I feel like we need to discuss what the ramifications are.
Yeah.
Is this technology
that would alter the iTunes numbers, or would this be technology to hurt other people?
Really technical right now.
I want to get started on the shows because there's way too many.
Let's get them rolling.
Oh my god, you guys. Like, I can't nearly get to everybody. J Renee 424 says this podcast is great. Prodigal 358 says it's morping time. Joyce, I want to say I will never morp again, but I don't like lying. Watch out, Scandal, here we come. Andyman 050531, the Avengers of AfterBuzz. This is by far the best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show out there. Bossingla, thank you so much. Guarand Madam Teed. I'm not sure, I apologize. It all makes sense now. it wouldn't be too surprising if the scandal is that Scandal is creating fake emails to pump themselves up. No, they have a huge fan base. They've got a big fan base, but we still believe ours is better. Phil Coulson's left hand writes it again. Yes. I gotta read Phil.
What does he say now?
Phil Coulson's left hand says, "Mwah, Phil wants me back." When he was talking to Roz and she tied his tie, so romantic. But at the same time, Rosalind, don't be evil. He mentioned that he missed his hand. You guys, Phil wants me back. But am I ready to let this person back into my life again? I am my own hand.
I don't need that loser,
but I really want him back. So I'm giving this question to you guys. Should I do it?
I just have to say that I'm picturing Coulson's hand in the glass case telling us this. Screaming at us.
I'm picturing him running around
All right. Thistlethorn, thank you for your review. Chadbad, Guppy 66 is best podcast ever. Way better than Scandal.
That's right.
It's starting to feel bad.
Maybe we should stop bringing that up when we do our ideas.
Addicted Yet Irritated says, love the podcast. Escaped Soul 01 says, awesome. Just found this podcast. I love this show and this panel is great.
Aww.
What SRG thinks, this show has my approval. Bookworm 1495, this is by far one of my favorite AfterBuzz after shows. Jillybean 729, thanks for being awesome. Visible Spark, love this show. There aren't a lot of shows I stay up for. Yours is one of them.
Thank you.
Also, when is Hunting Bird going to premiere? Would definitely watch that. I have very mixed feelings about that. Tyree Jones, this podcast is an absolute joy to listen to, and not just because it's Joyce. Sorry, I added that last bit.
I'll allow it. That one was
spacey,
sweet.
Favorite AfterBuzz. Lastly, Mama Little Seven writes
Mama
in
Little
best
Seven.
AfterBuzz out of all AfterBuzz TV shows.
Thank you.
You guys
I'm sorry I wasn't able to read everybody's. Do you see how long that took me just to read names?
We have so many every week. We get tons
more. This was way more. This was nuts. I love you guys.
You guys, I may cry. You guys are the best. Thank you guys so, so much. So speaking of crying, let's move on to talk about the relationship.
I can't handle it.
They kissed. They finally kissed. Fitz and Simmons finally kissed.
Yeah, right after Simmons said that she loved not Fitz.
Well, no. She didn't say she didn't love Fitz also.
Yeah. Yeah, and
which
I mean,
I know she does.
There are lots of, I mean, there are different types of love. There's platonic love. There's loving somebody because you survived a horrible situation with them. That exactly what Fitz said. He gave her hope when she had none.
Yeah.
You know, they were there for each other. You can love somebody without being in love with them.
But didn't he ask her if she was in love with him?
Yeah.
And she said yes. And whenever I hear the words in love together,
yeah, but still,
I think of like romantic in love.
It's so unfair of Fitz to do that to her. It was such a mean move. Like, she's so vulnerable right now. She just survived being out in the wilderness. Like, to me, it feels like he's taking advantage of her being in a vulnerable situation.
Not to ask her that, but to
kiss her. And like she does. She barely like 2 weeks ago. She's barely like able to walk around while cell phones are going.
She did kiss him back.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's been building up in him. Like I don't think he wanted to have this moment.
No.
I don't think he wanted it to lead up to what happened.
Well, the problem for him is that because of the series of unfortunate events that has led them. Yes.
Okay.
Specifically because of Lemony Snicket, they can't be together. So everybody needs to write to Lemony Snicket. No. But because of the series of unfortunate events that has transpired every time they've even come close to maybe talking about getting together, it's just never been the right time. And then when they're finally kind of maybe on the same page, ready to talk, then she is literally ripped to a completely different world.
Literal star-crossed lovers.
Yes, aww. Exactly. And, you know, it's not fair to either of them.
Yeah.
Because not because they're meant to be together, because I don't know if they're meant to be together. They might be better off as brother and sister, but they never gotten the chance to see if they can be together or should be together.
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's something that people struggle with. I've seen it with my own friends. Like, I have friends that are, they were, like, floating around each other, like, oh, we'll be together, and we won't.
Same here, yeah.
And then somebody has a major life event that shifts it. And, like, in this case, real world, like, somebody in the family gets sick, and they have to go away. And then you're just like, right as things are building to a head, one person gets pulled out of the equation. And then when you get dropped back into it, you are still both in that place. The relationships that you formed are still there. And
yes, but when someone comes back from a planet and is traumatized,
you give them their space.
Yes, you don't kiss them.
But
you don't push love on someone who has just come back from war. You don't push love on someone who's just come back from being months on a planet.
I can't.
That's unfair of Fitz to do to Simmons. He's taking advantage of the fact that she is raw right now.
But also, he's been helping her silently. Like, he's been helping her
silently.
Yeah, but
being good doesn't mean that he earns.
Yeah, there's technically,
I can't be mad at both of them.
Yeah. There's an argument that they're making Fitz a nice guy. For those of you who don't know, it's a quote-unquote guy who is quote-unquote nice to women and then resents them when they don't get love or affection in return.
Sure. I don't think that that's what Fitz is, though. And here's the thing.
No, like, but there's an argument for it.
There is an argument for that, but I'm saying I disagree. Because Fitz is doing this for his best friend. And he never expects anything in return. He kisses her, and that, like, maybe the, like, you can disagree that that's a, or you can feel that that's like a bad decision, but it's not like
a horrible decision.
It's not like he, like, told her, like, you have to love me. They're in this impossible situation to deal with, and he's trying to reconcile his feelings as best that he can. And in this moment of confrontation, that, like, they, where they're both encountering it, and they're, they, this sounds really, like, the heat between them is palpable.
Yeah.
Well, but like, it's true. But she feels it, too, and she's upset and angry, too.
And he can see it. We can see it.
It's up to Fitz being the person who is not traumatized, who did not go there to be the bigger person and walk away from that heat until she is readjusted. Like, that's up to him. Like, it's on him to be the person that's like, I feel this with her as well, but right now she's in a vulnerable place, and, like, I shouldn't take advantage of it.
I don't know. I don't think it was him taking advantage. I think it was the heat of the moment. I think it was all that passion and emotion building up to that 1 second where he had to kiss her. Like, it just happened, and then... I lost my train of thought.
It was a simple moment where he just acted without thinking, and it's such a small thing that he never.
But it's going to have huge ramifications.
Yeah, yeah, but she could have stopped him. She did, and not that like, she is feeding the emotions of that conversation as much as he is, and I just it's in that snap decision. I feel like we can't like. You can debate, like, Monday morning quarterback style, like, if it was a good decision or a bad decision. But I think that in the moment, like,
he just had to go. It's an interesting play, Phil. Let's see how it plays out.
I think he just had to go with his instinct because there's no right playbook for something like this.
I was going to say, there's no right time at this time
no, exactly,
to make this decision.
Because she's vulnerable right now.
Well, I mean, there's no right or wrong time.
The thing is, Jesse, is that I think
they could do that.
In his own way, he was trying to be the bigger person, and that's why she was getting upset, because he was trying to be like, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to help you find this guy who helped you survive. And so he's trying to be the bigger person, even though he's angry about the situation, and she's upset that he's not seemingly upset by it.
And how can
that mean that they're not talking about it? There's a big old elephant in the room, and they're not talking about it, and that's what's making them both angry.
Yeah.
Sure. Is that it's and both to, there, and they know it's there, but no one's going to acknowledge it.
And to help your point, it seems like they're writing Simmons as though she is not traumatized anymore. That she is not... She's
more focused.
Yeah, that she is not reeling from the fact that she was on a planet for months.
and let's not forget, like, it's not that far out from Fitz being an equal level of traumatized.
Yeah, that's why neither of them are good for each other. They're both people who are traumatized and codependent.
Stephanie Joy sent us something on the hashtag. She sent us the GIF, "Stop blowing holes in my ship!" Hashtag Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, please.
you jumped through a hole in the universe for me.
Look, they've both told each other on different occasions that they like each other, that they care about each other in a romantic way, and I feel like what Fitz did is something that's been a long time coming, not in the best situation, not the best time, but there is no right or wrong time at this point, because there's a lot of shit in the fan.
And there's never going to be a good time.
So it might as well.
And that's the thing. That line for me, I think, is what makes Fitz's actions, if not
understandable,
like, good, okay. Because she verbally said, like, when she said, "You jumped through a hole in the universe for me," she's saying, like, "You are such an amazing person that loves me so much, and I have." And in that moment, that line is so loaded because it's such a statement of, "I love you, I want to be with you, but I also want this other thing, and those two things cannot possibly exist together."
Yeah,
and I am faced with an impossible situation.
So what you do is you say, my best friend is going through a lot of issues right now. I should not force myself. I should not force my issue on her. I should let her deal with it and work it out. I will help her. I'll be supportive. I love her. I'm not going to force anything. She just survived being on a planet by, like,
that would
surviving.
Not make for good TV, Jesse.
No,
that would be the gentlemanly thing.
That's how you lose in the game of love.
That would be the gentlemanly thing to
you
do.
You gotta
though.
Make a move.
I understand.
But you just don't. You don't kiss someone who just got back from a traumatic, like, thing. You don't force emotion on someone who is traumatized.
I don't think it was forced.
I don't think I think he's acknowledging the emotions
that
are there.
There's no way that there aren't ramifications from kissing her.
Oh, absolutely.
There are going to be, but guys, Sadly, we've gotten to the point where we're talking in circles. Yes. Okay. So we need to move on to the next heartbreaking thing.
Oh, Phil and Roz.
Phil and Roz.
Oh,
my God. Were there any couples that were just okay? I guess Hunter and Bobby
yeah, were good.
Yeah, they were great. They had a really great dynamic.
No, we're the same height. I just don't wear heels.
So the thing I wrote down in the early thing in my book that I wrote down, he's investigating the lady he's shtupping. Yep.
Is that what you christened your notebook with?
Yep.
Oh,
octopuses
Lord.
Are scary and shtupping.
Shtupping. I haven't heard that term in a long time.
That is a unique way of putting it. But yeah, it's so funny because we have this confrontation between Phil and Mac. Easy Mac, as it were. Hate myself right now.
It's mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's mac and cheese.
Hate myself. Anyway, so we had this confrontation where Mac is like, you are being compromised because she's playing you. And then Coulson has this meeting where he basically goes, no, I'm not.
I love how we were talking about it. He couldn't have just told Mac.
Coulson was such a jerk
meeting.
There. He was like, by the way, this meeting's going to be about how that's not
I'm
going to
answer your question
like,
right
he
now,
could,
Mac.
He could say that, but instead he decides to do it in front of all of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think he just wanted to see the look on Mac's face.
Which was...
Or I'll bet you Phil had that speech and like rehearsed it in front of the mirror.
Oh,
he's
man.
Like, I could tell you, but I've already got this great speech planned. If I tell you, I'm gonna step on it. It's gonna mess me up. I gotta just wait 5 minutes and then we'll talk again.
Phil rehearses a lot more than we do.
Oh yeah.
But so before we get back to Phil and Roz, I do want to touch on the fact that May and Lincoln had a very touching moment. Too,
yeah.
Because the entire episode, he's terrified of her because she won't speak to him. And it's only when we get this moment with the two of them in the jet where she goes, I've been trying to figure out what to say. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
The only problem I had with that is, like, why is the new guy on the extraction team? Like, he's not even, like, it's not like he was in the military before. He was a doctor.
Yeah,
he's got lightning powers, but, like, how does that help him extract anything?
Shouldn't he be in the lab?
He didn't pick to do that today. He didn't choose to go on that mission.
That's true. Like, he didn't look a little like a deer in the headlights.
But it
for
was
a second.
Good because, like, Daisy said, he Coulson doesn't just let people stay on the ship. Like, you have to pull your weight to stay and, like, earn your place. So he was forced to do that today, which is fine.
He's like, I haven't even been given the tour yet.
I don't know what extraction means.
Although, he actually had an almost happy couple moment with Daisy. She's like, we're not going to talk about that kiss, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Stop playing, people.
That was probably the most optimistic relationship thing in this
entire
episode.
Thing.
Pretty much.
Which is that little flirty bit.
Still Hunter and
Hunter
Bobby.
And Bobby.
Yeah, they were hilarious.
They're the best.
Hunting Bird is still doing great.
They're doing fine.
Almost
they're
like
solid.
They're prepping to go off on their own adventures or something.
What do you know?
It's like it's like what they mostly want out of their marvelous relationship.
That is interesting. Ways of phrasing it. Anyway, so to get back to Phil and Roz, their dialogue, even now, like when you think you know which side each of them is on and who's playing who, their dialogue, their tete-a-tetes are just fabulous to watch, and I almost wish we could see like what it's like in the writer's room when they're writing down these back and forths, and when she turns to him and says things like dearest.
Yeah.
Are you hacking me?
Well, yes, of course.
TJ Ford in the chat makes a great Lincoln doesn't have a lanyard. And neither does Roz.
Yeah.
Come on, Koenig, get on.
Why weren't you here?
Stop playing video games.
Call your sister and then get him a lanyard.
It's on his list of things to do on the sticky note.
I'm so excited Patton Oswalt comes back.
Please come back.
He'll be great.
Please come back.
Or is he in that random collection of S.H.I.E.L.D. interns?
Number one. Who was it who was mean to an intern? It was Fitz was being mean to an intern.
Yeah, he was.
Well-meaning
idiot.
Yeah. Also, Coulson had a really good really good quote with the only spies without trust issues are either young or dead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, I really like how that kind of just shows his mentality. Like, of course he's going to try and hack the ATCU. He's a spy. Like, and he's dating a spy. Like, he's gotta go into her background, because we learn later that maybe Roz isn't Hydra, but very easily she could have been.
Yeah, like, let's go ahead and pose that to the table. Do we think that her being unaware of, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but do we think that her being unaware of Malik's intentions is legit and on the level, or do we think she's just playing a new hand?
I think it's legit, but I can't see past that. Like, I can't see how she would, how else she, well, she could benefit S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, she has a lot of intel now. Like, she could be the good, like, middleman, I guess, between, like, she could play both sides, and it'll definitely benefit S.H.I.E.L.D., and that'll help S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of take down parts of Hydra.
Yeah.
Because of her.
Yeah, I think she's their key to Malik.
Yeah.
She also has a lot of knowledge of space. They might need that. And maybe they form a branch that she can be in charge of.
Two equal parts.
Offensive, defensive. What are the words for those?
Joke so many times.
Yeah.
I think it's more interesting if she's Hydra and she's playing, and just because, like, that, her not knowing what goes on that floor seems really convenient. Like,
yeah.
It seems really, like, for someone like fair. Roz, who seems to be in control of everything,
who
and aware of everything,
into everything and everyone.
Everything, it seems really convenient that she didn't know what was going on that floor. By the way, what was going on that floor was really screwed up.
That
just bin full of arms and legs of people who didn't take survive the fish oil. Like, that was screwed up.
You know what I thought was weird, though? Like, when Bobby and Hunter came through and they got the IT guy to confess that, like, oh, they had one thing come through the doors,
but it
wasn't there.
Yeah.
So how would they know that it came through the doors if it never came through the door? You know what I mean?
Yeah. As soon as I said it, it was from Broken Cocoons.
Yeah, it was Broken Cocoons. Because the fish oil, wouldn't have had the metal to
wouldn't have
kill
had the pterogenesis effect.
So it's like, it's
screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, it's still screwed up to not, basically, you're like, I'm going to completely change your life forever. Yeah. At a random chance.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
You might turn into a big hedgehog person. You might turn into a door. You might turn into a regular person that melts things. It's just a roll of the dice. We're going to wait and see.
Joyce, I don't have a good answer for that. That's a big hole, is that the way they were able to hack into the ATCU is that they were using the pod that they were keeping Andrew in to hack the network inside the ATCU. But Andrew was not in that building.
I think the idea was they took it there because they delivered it there.
Yeah.
And then they just shipped it.
They shipped it because
Coulson delivered it there. So it was inside the building.
Yeah.
It just got shipped elsewhere.
They showed the pod, like the panel on it activating it when it was not there.
I think the idea is they moved it after, like, in that somewhere. Time.
Like, there. It was built to dupe.
Yeah. Built to dupe.
I'm not going to pretend like I understand the techno babble that they use to infiltrate the ATCU.
On their very secretive screen that comes up and says, homing beacon, activate. Just in case anyone's walking by and is wondering.
Just a janitor like, should I tell anyone or I'll keep doing this?
That's terrifying, though, that they're shipping all of their inhuman captives somewhere, and all of the people that they're forcing to take these fish oil pills. And that's very unsettling.
I really liked Hunter's nerd costume.
Oh my god, like, he was so funny.
What was it? Damn
the Yanks.
Damn the Yanks. Yeah.
And just like aggressively British towards the American government. Yeah.
God like, save the queen.
A fan of red coats.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're a Red Sox fan. No, red coats.
Oh lord.
That was That was really fun. It was cool seeing that thing with Daisy in his ear and mm-hmm. him, like, reciting that. That was a really awesome
sequence. I was waiting for him to mess up. Yeah. Like, you know, in Hunter like mess up accidentally in Hunter fashion.
Like, if she's saying, like,
blows cover.
Like, type in, like, forward slash, that he actually writes the words forward slash. Or
like I just love how slow his typing was.
I'm a hacker. I'm hacking the net, the mainframe. That's what I'm doing. But I did love this whole sequence because it's just good old-fashioned espionage fun. And for how high the stakes are and for how dark and serious S.H.I.E.L.D. can get, it's still nice to have those fun espionage moments. Mm-hmm. It's that where it's like, yeah, this is serious and dark, but at the same time, it's still really fun. It's a fun ride.
Yeah, yeah. It's what makes the show compelling. Even the stuff with Ward, like when he was on the airplane and he was like flirting with the... What are we calling them now?
Flight attendants?
Flight attendants? Is it just flight attendants?
I think it's flight attendants.
Okay. Flight attendants, when he was flirting with her, like, that was a fun, like, cheeky, like, Ward's a cheeky bad guy, like, it was fun.
Winks at her as he's putting on his parachute.
She was giving it to him,
I didn't hate Ward in this episode. I enjoyed him, yeah. We also learned that Roz has a fantasy football team.
Of course she does. She had that crazy bat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of backgrounds, I mean, I don't know if this was ever stated before, but it's the first time I learned that Coulson was just a history major that decided to dig a little bit and just got recruited, and now he's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, totally unsuspecting.
And it's a perfect analogy. It's very similar to the 616 version of Coulson that they introduced, who got into S.H.I.E.L.D. by becoming an expert in everything superhuman.
Yeah.
Like, he just studies, like, every in the comics, it's great because he becomes this guy who just has studied every super, like, person in the world, knows their powers, knows which situations they'd be great at, and like that's how he climbs the ranks of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And so it makes
just
sense.
He's just a super nerd. That's Coulson's superpower, is that he is extremely nerdy.
He's just a big fan. A big fan.
He's one of us. He wouldn't enjoy what's about to come up, though.
No.
Which I think it might be time for the surprise.
let's talk about news and gossip and predictions, and then we'll talk about our surprise. So, news and gossip, TV news. So, for those of you who watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This evening, we were all treated to a little promo for Agent Carter.
So excited.
And Carter goes to Hollywood, and it was just, it was so good to see Peggy Carter in action again. Even if it was just for a minute, it was such a great promo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that show so much last year. I'm super excited to see it back.
Same.
See it in Hollywood.
Ooh, that'll be so fun.
You're going to have to dust your hat off, Zach.
Yeah.
Well, but they don't, like, they're in the 50s now. There's a lot. Like,
you're
going
to have to wear a pillbox.
There's no fedoras anywhere. I was like, am I going to have to get that big swooshy red thing that she was wearing? I don't think I can pull it off.
We're going to have to all wear poodle skirts.
Fine by me. I'm okay with it. Red lipstick and poodle skirts.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Oh, man.
So that's basically all we have for news.
Yeah, January 5th, and it'll just continue on when this show leaves off after the holiday break.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going away right away, guys. We're off next week. We're back December 1 for the last, I think, 2 or 3 more episodes.
Before the mid-season finale.
I always forget that S.H.I.E.L.D. takes pretty long breaks.
Yeah,
and it kind of hits me like a brick wall. I'm like, what?
This break is just like a quick nap. And then we're going to be back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be recharged.
Take a quick nap. We'll dream about the 50s for a while. And
and then we're going to be back in action.
Wake up, be good to go.
Yeah.
So that, it's going to be a ton of fun. And I can't wait to see what they have in store for season 2. Let's go ahead and move into predictions now.
I want to throw out my first prediction, and something that chat roll has been yelling at us for a little bit. The tiny monolith.
Yeah.
The weird tiny monolith that they, like, that's what these holes in the monolith are, is they managed to take out chunks of it. So I think it's going, like, they're going to have to find that one, and there's going to become a hunt for the other ones. There might be, I don't know, 12 different holes we have to go back and count now that might have been taken out and handed out to people. Maybe they were branded.
Stole my prediction.
One with a ram and one with a, like, whatever a Libra is.
I'm wondering if there might be a reveal that Coulson has a piece of the monolith already.
Maybe.
In his arm.
in his
robot arm.
His robot arm turns into liquid every once in a while. It's useless.
We actually had a fan comment last week on our YouTube comments that, and I apologize, I don't recall who exactly it was, but somebody recalled, like, hey guys, we're talking about how Joey has the power to melt things and then build them again. Yes. And most of the monolith is dust. Hmm. Well, all you have to do is melt these things together and then reconstruct the monolith, and then boom.
Cool to see.
He hasn't
more
really
Joey
been
action.
In the picture for a while, so this could be his, like, big moment.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's just a question of whether or not he can do this with any and all minerals if he puts his mind to it, or if it's strictly metal, because we don't know if the monolith is metal per se. We know it's just alien properties and stuff. It's weird. Yeah. So that's a thought, though. I very much appreciated that they pointed that out as a possibility.
Yeah.
I also predict that in just a few days, Jesse and I are going to be talking about this fancy book. And the show that's coming off of it.
Jessica Jones.
We're going to be recapping it a little sporadically. It's not going to be a weekly show. It's going to be a couple times a week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little all over the place. But the first one you can check out before we get into our surprise is going to be this coming Monday. The show premieres on Friday. We're going to be talking about it Monday at either 3 or 4 p.m. So check AfterBuzz. You'll see the times. And
it's
then another episode.
Mark Donica.
Yeah, Mark Donica, who we did Daredevil with, and Emma Fyfe, another
Fife.
Fellow AfterBuzz host.
Yeah,
you guys are
Jessica
gonna have
Jones.
A hoot. You guys are gonna have a hoot.
Is it time?
Do we have any final thoughts, final predictions?
Well, I mean, I was thinking the same thing that you mentioned, Zach, and also, I mean, Ward is gonna target, I think, Gemma and Fitz specifically because they know how to open up the portal.
Oh yeah.
So. I mean, he's probably going to get to them, but bait Coulson that way and then try to take Coulson out.
Yeah. It looks like the next episode is just the quote-unquote war with Ward coming to a head.
I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of just strain and angst in all the love worlds because, like, it's just going to be like Andrew and May have this weird strain and angst. Now we've got Fitz and Simmons, and now also Coulson and Roz, like... He did full on just go into
her
background.
He did rip her apart. Yeah. It was
pretty much
unkind. But at the same time, he was going, and we're still operating under the assumption that she's innocent, which may not necessarily be the case.
May not be true.
So if that does it for our predictions, then we do have a treat for you guys. Our fan...
Strong word, treat.
Well, it's something. Maybe not a treat, and this is what I was talking about
earlier. Well, let them be the judge of that.
I was not here last week. I just want to say I was not here.
You were not privy to this.
Yeah.
But we had a fan.
Yeah, Skyward-OTP on Tumblr.
Wrote us a little song that we would to the lyrics of I Will Survive that we would like to perform for you right now.
Those of you watching along will see the characters that we're portraying as we hold them up.
So tonight on AfterBuzz Theater.
All right.
This is amazing.
Let's
you please? Again, we haven't rehearsed, so
Troll
we apologize.
Raven, you
also,
put it full screen.
We've been talking for an hour.
So,
and
this is a
minutes.
Treat to us, so you decide if our voices are a treat to you.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, God.
Sweet. I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. I spent all those nights thinking how I did you wrong, but now I grew strong, I learned how to get along.
And now you're back from outer space, walked in again to find you're here with that sad look upon your face. I should have checked that door was locked, I should have made you leave with me. If I had known right in that second, you'd be far away.
walk out the door. Just turn around now.
Think I can't do this anymore. Weren't you the one who left me when I needed you the most?
Did you think I'd crumble?
Did you think I'd lay down and die?
Oh, no, 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 no. I will survive.
Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
I've got all my life to live.
I've got all my love to give.
And I'll survive. I will survive. Hey, hey.
This is insane.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your ears.
Here comes Ward.
Here comes our man Ward on the ones and twos.
It took all the strength I built not to fall apart. Wanted to try and mend the pieces of your broken heart. And I spent oh so many nights feeling sorry for myself, wanted to die. But now I hold my head up high.
And you see me, somebody new. I'm not that wide-eyed little girl who's still in love with you. And you so felt like dropping in and just to expect me to believe. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me.
Link so long.
Walk out the door. Just turn around now.
I just can't do this anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to shoot me, said goodbye?
So you think I'd crumble?
Did you think I'd lay down and die?
Oh, no, not no.
I will survive.
Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
I've got all my life to live.
I've got all my love to give.
I'll survive.
I'll survive.
Hey, I drop.
Go on now. Walk out the door.
Just turn around now.
Cause none of you are welcome anymore.
Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with your lies?
Did you think I'd crumble?
Did you think I'd lay down and die?
Oh, no, no,
no. I will survive.
Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
I've got all my life to live.
I've got all my love to give.
And I'll survive.
I will survive.
I will survive.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to all of you.
You've got a week break, so your ears can
recover. The chat roll is saying, oh my god, Ultron hacked AfterBuzz. It's beautiful. This is awful. Passes out Rotten Tomatoes.
We deserve all of that.
Oh, so people said I could sing. That is the first time I've ever seen it.
Well done, everybody. And we apologize to all you fans who stuck around.
Someone passed the ear bleach.
Yeah, that was a fact. Goodness. That happened. Anyway, guys.
What is this show?
God, I do hope that someone's never seen the show before and they logged on just for that part of it.
So Jelly Bean.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Raymond, and our fantastic engineer, for putting up with us.
Yes, so funny. With our crazy request.
For us to do that.
And if you want us to not sing anymore, send us a great iTunes review and send us fan art, guys. Fan art is harmless.
Fan art will be like a big X over our faces.
Our vocals. Vocals.
Send us fan art from now on so that we don't do things like this anymore. But guys, and we promise you that if we reach our goal of getting to iTunes, we will never sing for you again.
Oh my god, that is a promise I can keep.
I'm embarrassed.
Now we're holding
Let's wrap it up.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Jesse Klein, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1, and you can see me doing a comedy here in Los Angeles with my sketch teams, Haymaker and DJ Fawcett.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, and make sure to tune in next week for Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah, cool. Jessica Jones.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I just Snapchatted some footage of us singing. It's pretty funny. If you want to relive that, you can also find me on Sunday Night's podcast for The Walking Dead.
Fantastic. Yeah. And guys, I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at that at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sunday nights, which I got in a lot of trouble for saying that it was my second favorite show at the moment behind Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So, guys, don't make me regret that.
Just saying.
Don't make me regret that, because Ash vs. Evil Dead fans are very passionate. Anywho, I also write articles for The Movie Chick. Be sure to check those out. Thank you so much to everybody who bared with us through this episode.
So
everybody
sorry.
On the hashtag. So everybody on the live chat. We will see you all next time.
Bye. Bye.
Sorry for my voice.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.